Get anything you missed on Roo and Dits for breakfast catch up on the podcast. Main North Nissan and Renault, end of financial year sale. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, indeed. Hello, Roo. Good morning on this Monday. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you, Dits. Fantastic weekend. Another beautiful day yesterday.
How was the weather?
These farmers will be hoping for rain, but I'll tell you what, everyone cruising around Adelaide was just enjoying the sunshine. It was beautiful day out there.
Stunning. I see you 22 again today. Well, there will be showers, though, but another day in the 20s. Amazing stuff. Crowmania back, so you've had a good weekend at the footy.
Yeah, they did okay. I wasn't overly happy with them at all early.
A bit critical.
Very critical. Didn't think they played well at all early. And played good in the second half, but they would have been down by a fair bit against a good side.
All right, we'll get you to tell us all about a couple of your debutantes as well. You can tell us all about them just a little bit later on. But last night, it was all about Cocaine Cassie, wasn't it?
Oh, God, what a basket case this is. This is looking very bad. Very ordinary, a lot of lies, a lot of rubbish, a lot of who do you believe. I reckon doing this media stuff is not going to help them at all. No. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets a decent sentence out of this.
That's how it's looking, unfortunately.
Doesn't look good, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it was interesting that Channel 9 and Channel 7 both went down very, very different paths. And so we've learnt a lot. Now they're talking about her being a prostitute in Sydney and all sorts of things. So, again, we're going to talk to both.
Apparently the money's not very good in Adelaide.
No.
It's not very lucrative.
If you're listening this morning, if you want a career in prostitution,
go to Western Sydney.
Go further afield. Yeah, Adelaide. look, cut your teeth in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah, learn the trade.
Yeah, but then, then go to more prosperous grounds.
Earn the real cash elsewhere.
Yep, fair enough.
And fly back for weekends.
Yeah.
All right, what
fly
else?
Fly away for weekends, come back during the week when it's quiet.
Yep. Oh, is that how you do it?
Yep.
Righto.
Yep.
Speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. Righto, ruined it for breakfast. So much to cover off this morning.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, making news around the place. We're going to go straight out to Parafield Gardens right now. There's been a real bad incident out there. Channel 7 News reporter Gertie Sperling's there. Gertie, good morning. What has happened out there?
Good morning. Well, it actually happened last night around 8:30. Two teenagers were riding their motorbikes around the northern suburbs when one of them was pulled over on McCartney Road in Parafield Gardens by a police officer in his patrol car. Now, witnesses claim when the police officer stepped out of the vehicle, he accidentally hit the accelerator and the patrol car ploughed into the 16-year-old motorbike rider, crushing him and his bike into the curb.
Oh, the policeman stepped on the accelerator, do you mean?
Yeah, that's right. So witnesses say, you know, when he went to step out of the vehicle, he might have accidentally hit the accelerator and the car just lurched forward and cleaned up the young motorbike rider.
So total accident by the sound of it. Now, how is the young boy?
He was rushed to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. He has two broken legs and a cracked pelvis.
Oh, no.
So no doubt he's in a stable condition, but in a lot of pain.
And were the two teenagers, were they licensed riders? They're all fine?
We're still unclear about those details, but we believe they were, and they'd just been out, you know, having a ride last night, and they were at one of their mates' houses and were about to leave, and that's when the young teenager was pulled over, and it all went horribly wrong from there.
Certainly did. Gertie, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us this early this morning. Gertie Sperling, you'll see her report on Channel 7 News tonight. Gee, what a terrible accident.
He won't be riding his bike for a while.
No.
With those injuries, it's terrible.
Amazing stuff. Let's move on, Roo. We heard in the news with Sean Maynard that Donald Trump has made a big speech about terrorism. He's named Australia, about the fact that we've been affected by it, which we have. Let's just hear a little snippet from Donald.
If you choose the path of terror, your life will be empty, your life will be brief, and your soul will be fully condemned.
Now, Roo, I don't know about you, I just want to ask your opinion on this. Now, again this morning, would you believe that North Korea has let off some sort of missile or rocket or something? And we're hearing that all too often. He's antagonized North Korea in recent weeks. He antagonizes the Muslim world continually. Does it worry you? Does he really concern you?
I can't be bothered spending my time reading what he's up to, and I don't trust what I'm reading anyway, because I reckon people are so divided on him, or they've got him pigeonholed one way or the other anyway. So, to be honest, it doesn't worry me, but what he's doing, it worries me with what's happening with all the the war stuff and the potential risk of all that. That actually worries me. I guess he's a part of it, so in a roundabout way he does. But I don't want to spend all day reading stuff about Trump.
And I don't either. But what I do listen to are things like that. When he starts talking about the Muslim world or North Korea, and there's another article I just read this morning, Roo, where Israel's now upset. And Israel has always been a real friend of the US and vice versa. Well, the US has been a big friend of Israel, I should say. But this morning, Israel's up in arms because he's made an arms agreement with Saudi Arabia. And Saudi and Israel don't get on. And I'm just saying that, I don't know, he seems to be just a little bit too aggressive for my liking with things like arms and, you know, helping with military and that sort of thing. He does worry me. He worries me a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm not qualified to talk about it. But, hopefully he knows what he's doing, because I don't want a world war, that's for sure.
Nah, definitely
not. And that's starting the obvious.
Definitely not. Now, Roo, I need to get to Alice the Wag in because... there's been a fashion faux pas, and when this happens, I'm beside myself. Seriously, I don't know what all the hassle is and what the problem is with this, but apparently Meghan Markle has just totally messed up over the weekend. Alice the Wag, good morning.
Morning.
Right, what's she done wrong?
She wore black to her probably will be sister-in-law's wedding.
No way.
Well, you're not allowed to wear black to a wedding.
No, particularly if you're that hot, I wouldn't suggest it.
Why not?
Because all the attention has to be on the bride. So
and it
black,
was.
Black. Like you wear black to a funeral, so you can't wear
blokes
black.
Blokes wear
a
black suits to weddings.
Yeah, but it's different
is it
if
just
you're a
for
bloke.
Girls
can't wear black dresses. You can't wear white dresses either, or any dress like a really light color that could look like
so
white.
So you have to wear a color.
You got to be kidding.
Well, it's a happy day, and black is such a sad color.
No, but what if it's the hottest it's black dress you've ever seen?
But you can't look hot, because then that's just being a mole. Because
mole.
Because the bride has to be the hottest person there on the day.
Well, it's not the person's fault if she's good looking.
Roo, is this one of those points in your life where you say, gee, I wish I was a girl,
this
really?
This is why we struggle at times.
Fair dinkum. How are we meant to know all these rules?
Just ask me and I'll tell you.
So would all the girls there at the wedding be potting you? Would they? They'd be saying, bitch turned up in a black dress.
No, but like the bride would probably have gone to the toilet and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's worn a black dress. it's one of those unspoken rules that you just don't do.
Are you kidding?
See, look at the difference what blokes speak about and what the girls speak about. All the blokes been there going, you see what Megan's got on?
Yeah.
She's been all right.
Correct. And we'll be going, who shout is it? All right, thanks, Wag.
Thanks for that lesson. Right, another lesson there.
I say breaking news around
write
the world.
Write that one down.
Isn't that huge? Meghan Markle wore a black dress, Roo. I'll never get over this. I really won't. Hey, Roo, we're doing it all this morning for Main North Nissan. They got the Main North Nissan and Renault end of financial year sale. It's on right now. You find them out there right next to each other. So check it out. Main North Nissan and Renault, their end of financial year sale right now.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, last night, new revelations. I watched Channel 9 and Channel 7 as you did.
Yep.
And just breaking stories left, right and centre as far as Cassie Sainsbury's concerned. What are your feelings about it now?
Well, there's a lot of lies being told. You know, a lot of people calling her a compulsive liar. Her uncle said she never even worked for him before. He'd never even owned a cleaning business. Mm. And he actually said she's got a habit of doing the bolt when she's in trouble.
There is no truth to that whatsoever. I've never owned a cleaning business. I don't have any tolerance whatsoever, zero tolerance to people that use drugs or are involved in drugs. They can put Uncle Neil to the forefront as much as they want. But Uncle Neil served for this country, was a military police investigator, and I was happy to have people arrested or discharged from the Defence Force for any sort, form of illicit or illegal drugs.
Is that Dad?
That's Uncle Neil.
That's Uncle Neil.
Yeah. Now, Roo, and that was the bit that changed for me straight away when she said her boyfriend explained that she was working in her uncle's cleaning business. He then sold the business to another couple, and no one knows this couple. Okay. They can't find the couple.
Can I just jump in there? Does that mean that Cassie's lied to her boyfriend about this?
This is what it appears, unless...
And then Cassie might have said to that she's got to fly to Sydney to go and work over. Maybe she hadn't even told her boyfriend that she is a prostitute. If that's the case, I just can't believe it. How can you not know your partner's a prostitute in Sydney?
This is what happened, is the boyfriend was told, I'm going to Sydney to get new clients for the cleaning business, I think. So she's spending a week up there at a time, gaining
or weekends,
new business, and coming home with $18 cash. You know, it was always cash.
But there was money going in the bank account, wasn't it? $1,800 a month, a retainer.
Yep. Let's hear from, this is what Channel 9 reported last night with the sex worker.
I believe that Cassie has a bit of a history of skipping from one place to the next when things get a bit tough. And I just don't honestly believe that she was naive at all. I think she may have had knowledge of what she was doing, complete knowledge.
Again, that was Uncle Neil.
Cassie lived in Adelaide and she would fly over to work in Sydney. She said that her mum was suffering from MS and was in a private hospital, that she didn't have private health insurance. We were all really worried. She's a 22-year-old girl, you know, struggling to pay these huge hospital fees on her own, and nobody else cared about her mum but her.
And last you heard, how was her mum doing?
Her mother passed away. That's what we were told. Her mother died. So when it came out in the news, when I saw her mother, I thought, oh, wow, you know, that was just a complete lie. Her mum's not dead. Her mum's alive and well.
She's a compulsive liar. And if you're prepared to lie about stuff like that, that is just disgraceful. And I don't know what else you can say. It's telling porkies about things like that.
All right, let's go to Channel 9 reporter from 60 Minutes, Tom Steinfort. Tom, a very good morning to you. How credible do you think the sex worker was in this story?
Well, look, you have to go into something when they're making these huge claims with a fair bit of scepticism, and that's exactly what we did. I mean, we got this tip-off nearly a couple of weeks ago now, and certainly didn't rush to air with it. We've made sure we've gone through with a fine-tooth comb her version of events, but then have had to find a number of people to corroborate it with. We found documents that supported all the travel movements, everything like that. So, look, it was almost... We almost didn't believe it to start with. Yeah. Just reading the details and going, no, that can't be. And the more we read, the more we started to think, no, this stacks up.
Is it possible that the fiancé didn't know what she was doing in Sydney?
Look, it's entirely possible. But if you go by the version of events again from the people that we've spoken to, we've spoken with several ex-colleagues of Cassie's from these brothels in Sydney. They all say that she was very open about it, Cassie, that she said that Scott knew they were hard up for money and they'd come to an agreement that, look, this is what they were going to do to get some cash. Look, they even got engaged during this period that she was working as a sex worker here in Sydney. They went on a little trip. She came back, showed off the new engagement ring to all the co-workers at the brothel and was happy as Larry. And look, the other thing that points to perhaps at least some sort of knowledge from Scott Broadbridge is the fact that his credit card in his name was used to pay for some of Cassie's travel movements as well while she was heading here to Sydney.
Do you think she knew what she had in the bag, and how did she get to meet the people? Was this something that happened in Sydney, or did that already know from Adelaide, the people that she was obviously mixed up with over in Colombia?
Well, look, that's the million-dollar question exactly. Who stitched her up with all of this? And I think this provides a missing link, because so many people went, a personal trainer, you know, who's she going to know that's probably all that dodgy? I think certainly there's a bit more cynicism about sex work and who she might have run into during that stint. She completely changed her story now, Cassie Sainsbury. She's thrown the headphones for the bridal party story out the window, and last night she came clean with a new story. She's now claiming she was looking for fast cash. She saw this offer on a website called Craigslist for a loan that also involved her doing some travel. She thought, oh, well, good as gold. That sounds fantastic, almost too good to be true, and clearly was too good to be true, and claims that once she jumped on those flights, she was told she was going to Bogota. When she landed, there was someone that met her there and threatened to kill her family, and the rest is now history. Now, that is her version of events. That doesn't mean it's the truth. And it's, again, it's a new version of her version of the truth. So, look, make of it what you will, but that is now what she'll be going to the prosecutors and trying to argue that she was coerced into carrying that package out of Colombia.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much, mate. Great report last night. Tom Steinfort, 60 Minutes on Channel 9. Let's just hear that quote from the lawyer, Roo.
As we understand it, Cassandra said she was threatened before she got on that plane. Do you know the nature of that threat?
If you don't get to fly, we will be threatened or killing your family or you.
So threatened to kill her or her family?
Yes, yes.
So you're saying she just made a silly mistake, that she was going to back out at the last minute, but that's when they made the threat?
Yes, it is correct.
So many questions to ask now. 133353, if you watched this last night, what do you think of it? And then the other thing that comes into it too, Roo, is about us now paying for her legal case, her legal costs. Apparently the rules are in Australia, if you're facing more than 20 years of jail, you can get government assistance. So, but anyway, the revelations last night, who's involved in this?
So the headphones is out the window now, is that what?
Well, she's changed her story, Now
she saw an ad to do some travelling for a cheap loan and then got forced into it. That's the new story, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not adding up, is it? It's not looking good for her.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast at 8:41 on a Monday morning, and it's around this time we love to talk to this fella, especially when he's side. Leads by 25 points at three-quarter time and capitulates. Mick Molloy, good morning.
It was a classic, wasn't it? It was goes into the pantheon of greats for the Richmond Football Club. I thought it was just one of our great moments. So.
I mean, they were up by 31 points.
Give them some credit.
And they were goalless in the last quarter. So just a standard capitulation.
Dustin Martin out from 50 metres in front, kicks it in the man on the mark. Rush down the other end where it's awarded a goal, then taken off us, and then they run it down the ground and kick it. I mean, I thought there could be anything more perverse than last week when we lost with 21 seconds. I don't know.
Mick, can I just go through the last month? So you lost by three points to GWS, mate. 2 points to Freo the week before that, 5 points to the Dogs the week before that, and happened to Adelaide.
Yep, good point.
That's hard to get up for anyone to have three losses by under a goal.
Mate, we'll beat Essendon next week in the Dreamtime Clash. Can I tell you, this is a Dreamtime Clash. It's the only time I've ever left the ground early. This is a true story. Half time, they were absolutely flaying us, and I had a party to get to. So, listen to me. So I left the ground half time. I leave the MCG. I walk up to the Hilton, get in a cab, and as I jump in the back of the cab, the driver goes, "I've been expecting you." That was at half time at a Richmond Essendon game. So I look forward to that. We'll turn it around. We'll be right. Hey, bigger news surely in Adelaide is Cocaine Cassie, and how's she travelling? And gee, there's some bombshells. Mm. Was it a bombshell to everyone? She was a call girl, because I always thought she looked kind of familiar.
One of Adelaide's finest.
No, I didn't see that coming.
No, we didn't see that coming. Haven't been to Penrith for a while. She's working.
And there she is, and there's other prostitutes like bad mouthing it. Now, when other prostitutes reckon you're no good.
That's the lowest, I think.
You are going a fair way down the chain here. When even they're shaking their heads going, she's just, I don't know what to do about this.
Tells lies.
That is that. But you know what? I was trying to work out when all the tissue of lies and when I first started to pick holes in her stories. And if I think right back, it was probably when she claimed to be a fitness instructor.
That was a lie. That was definitely a lie.
Alarm bells were ringing there. But my favourite out of the Cassie wars last night between 7 and 9 was the boyfriend who was buying the idea that she was a fly-in, fly-out cleaner to Penrith, where she's getting paid $1,800 a weekend. That's some pretty good cleaning right there.
She's
cleaning someone's brains out, I wouldn't say. I would have thought.
It doesn't sort of add up, does it?
Hey, my cleaning company's taking me to Bogota.
Yeah.
Okay. Righto.
Bring mop and bucket if you could, please.
Bring your mop and bucket and your chamois.
That's some very good cleaning going
on. It's a specialist job, being a cleaner. Don't worry about that. They haven't got them over there.
Well, Well, I've seen the picture. She clearly cleans in her lingerie. Had some hot cleaning going on.
Hey, what about the female umpire, Mick? She did a good job.
It was great to see her. She did such a great job, and it was the first round, and she was really good, and it was great for the game, I think.
Haven't always been on her side, though. You've been stirring her up a little bit in the past.
Oh, don't play the old spot.
Young Eleni is going to be the first female umpire, Mick. It's a great story.
Do you think the players are happy about that?
I would have thought.
I'm just saying this. So used to being bossed around at home. Now they're going to get bossed around at work. when she takes your number, are you allowed to take her number? Let's have a go. There'd be no point arguing with her, is there? Because you're never going to win that one. Do you reckon she will get booed? The whole crowd will get the silent treatment.
Why would you play that? Why would you play that?
I just got to keep you honest, mate.
I was in her corner all the way. No, it's great to see. I'm a good fan. Hey, did you catch any of the royal wedding?
Megan's upset everyone with this fashion.
What's she do wrong?
She wore a black dress.
Yeah, you can't wear a black dress.
Apparently, I was watching that with a couple of girls at the time whose jaws dropped and went, "That is an incredible."
That's disgusting.
I was more excited about those little kids. You see the little kids getting around in their little gold pantaloons.
It's beautiful.
Talk about children of the corn. I was looking at that going, oh, look out, the Hitler Youth is back. Have a look at those. They are terrible.
They are odd costumes.
How odd costumes, and Pippa let us down, you know.
Why?
Well, you couldn't see that big caboose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
made famous at her sister's wedding.
Yeah, I think they've had a word to her. Stop stealing the limelight. Stop stealing the show.
Anyway, it was good stuff. Pippa. A good weekend all round.
Yeah. All right, Mick. Thanks, mate.
See you Thursday.
Indeed.
Chin up, mate.
Chins up, I think is the phrase.
Chins up.
See you, Mick.
Triple M.
Roo, the Crows won by 80 points on the weekend, but earlier this morning you sort of intimated that you weren't all that impressed.
Well, I wasn't that impressed, and I had been at the races for a few hours before the footy started, so say that. But I look at it the way a coach would look at it, like I would be if I was playing, and the Crows were far from impressive. It's probably the most unconvincing 80-point victory that I've seen for a long time. If Brisbane had just kicked their goals, their fair share of goals, they would have been 3, 4, 5 goals up early in the second quarter. So if the Crows are up against a decent side, they would have been even further behind. And that's what I look at. They were pretty ordinary. They fumbled. The conditions were a bit slippery. But the Crows weren't playing good footy for the first quarter and a half at all. They would have been worried about in the coach's box about whether they were actually going to win the game. But then they did start to get into gear with a bit of Eddie brilliance and a bit of Greenwood kicking a couple of goals. And then Charlie Cameron's third quarter was absolutely amazing. So it got some... needed some brilliance by a couple of really good players to get them into playing the sort of footy that we expected them to right from the start. I thought they'd come out breathing fire and they'd just smash them from the start and really come out and tackle hard and win the clearances and do all that. But it still, once again, took till the second quarter before they started playing some decent footy. So the rut they've been in the last couple of weeks... is not completely over, I don't think. They certainly played better in the second half. And the second half of the second quarter and the third quarter was good footy. So there's still going to be that question mark when they come out and play Freo this week that where are they at? Are they at where they were in the first 6 weeks, or are they at where they were in the last 3 weeks, or are they starting to come out of it? Hopefully they're starting to come out of it, but still a few question marks for me at the moment about the way they're going about it. So we'll wait and see, because Freo have now won 6. They were down the bottom of the ladder. They were shocking against Port Adelaide in round 2.
Terrible.
Absolutely shocking they were.
And then he axed 6 senior players, do you remember? Yep. And they haven't looked back.
They haven't looked back. They've got some speed in there. They're crashing in. Their midfield is right up there with one of the better midfields in the competition, I think, Freo. So... If the Crows midfield are off on Saturday night, we might have a ball game. So we'll wait and see on that one. Geelong take on Port Adelaide Thursday night. I watched Geelong closely. They rebounded. I think I said to you late last week that they got the mouth guards out and they had an old crash and bash training session in the middle of the week because they'd only had 12 tackles for the first half, Geelong, the week before. So they responded. They were tough and they did tackle really hard. If Port Adelaide don't tag Dangerfield and Selwood, they're crazy. Mm. They should tag them both. Mm. They are so reliant on Patrick Dangerfield and Joel Selwood. It's not funny. It's unhealthy. And Hinkley, you're mad if you don't do it. Absolutely mad if you don't tag both of them. I think Port Adelaide could beat them this week if they can minimise those two players. And that'll be a good win down at Skilled Stadium if they can knock them off.
Haven't done that too many times.
It's actually a big game because Geelong and Port, very similar part of the ladder. So this is a huge one. They should be well rested, and I think they're capable of knocking them off.
Hey, Roo, the young lady we spoke to last week, Eleni Glufsis, the Adelaide girl, who umpired for the first time over the weekend. I was rapt to read some of the reports, you know. Now, she bounced the ball a couple of times a bit skew-whiff.
No,
she's not the only one.
No.
But you know the great thing? Did you hear where the players apparently really encouraged her?
Which, I didn't hear that.
Isn't that great feedback?
No, it is good.
Apparently some of them said, no worry, keep going, you'll be right. You know, you're gaining confidence, keep going. They're really
give us a free kick.
Chatting her along. Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Nah, but I think that's good that they made her welcome and were very accommodating. But she did a good job. She did a very good job.
Yeah, well, she did the Essendon West Coast game. Essendon was a big upset there. North Melbourne were fantastic, beating Melbourne yesterday as well. And the Sydney Swans started the season zip and six dits. They are back. They smashed the Saints. So it is an exciting competition, totally unpredictable, and no one has got any idea what's going to happen in September.
No, that's right. Ruined It's for breakfast this morning. All thanks to Main North Nissan and Renault. They've got the great range of Nissan and Renaults to choose from. In fact, right now, end of financial year sale. It's on right now.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Friday, Ditz, you couldn't get out of here quick enough. We hadn't even debriefed Friday's show before you were straight out the door. You said you had things to do and people to meet. What did you have on over the weekend?
Headed straight down to the airport. Our friends here at Triple M Getaways SA put on the bus and I had 14 blokes fly in from all around Australia. And we do this every year. It's our little reunion. So, you know, a few years ago.
It every year. It seems like you do it every 2 months.
No. Once a year.
You have more leave passes than all trips of us put together.
This is a special one. So when I used to be a bit of a sportsman and fly around the world playing squash, right, these are the guys that I used to travel with. So for 15 years I travelled with
them. So these are all other top squash players, not just state blokes from here.
They played, all over the world,
Right.
Anyway, and so got on the bus and headed up to Handorf. And what happens is this trip moves every year. So this year it's my turn to do it in Adelaide. You've got to organise it.
Yep.
A lot of pressure on because, you know.
Yeah, you got to do it right.
Got to beat the others at what they organised in their hometown. And we've played in some great places. So I took a bit of a punt. And instead of playing the usual Royal Adelaide or Cooyong or whatever, I said, no, I'm going to take them up to Mount Barker Golf Course. And we're going to stay in Handorf, right?
Right.
So we're on the bus.
What, so you can save some money on taxis?
That's it. so we're on the bus.
Unbelievable.
And I'm getting bagged like you wouldn't
believe. Selfish.
How far's this joint? I'm getting all the crowd. How far? Where is it? Oh, bloody going out to the sticks. Well, within an hour of being in Handorf, they were saying, how good is this joint? I was actually really proud. I was, because they were walking up and down. This is unbelievable. Of course, the weather was great.
Yep.
Autumn leaves are falling. You know those autumn leaves that
I
talk about all the time?
Yeah, the coloured ones.
So everyone was pumped. And I've got to say, thank you to all the restaurants up there looked after us. People
what
laid
are the
on
good
food.
Restaurants up in the hills?
You got the house. Jason Duffy
about that.
There.
Yep.
Beautiful. And he laid on some beautiful food. We went to Geppetto's another night, which is the Italian joint. Beautiful. But anyway, it was a good weekend and we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and you sent us some racing tips for the Saturday, so we won a bit of money
punt.
Yeah.
The golf course up there is pretty good too, man.
Nice.
I reckon that's all right.
It was really nice. We were very impressed, yeah. No
Did
worries
you get the
about
chockies?
That. I ran fourth. I was coming second after day two, but got
waned.
Tired and emotional. They got to me. But anyway, look, there's a little bit of feedback over the weekend. The general consensus was that I'd put on a bit of weight, which I was very upset about. I know, they ripped into me.
They didn't let you off there.
Didn't let me off at all. They're brutal, very brutal. It was very hurtful, some of the things I was saying.
Mm.
And you'll understand this one. You have a roommate, and we're rooming together the first night, and I woke up, and he was gone.
I forgot What room he was in?
No, no. At 1 o'clock in the morning, he went and booked another room.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're snoring.
Yes.
So he's had Why didn't you just go home anyway? You're only...
No, no, no. You've committed to the tour. You're on tour. You've got to commit to the boys. And I stayed there with them.
I bet you your roommate wish you weren't committed.
Yeah, no. So anyway, he took off and he stayed in another room. But they told me, one thing I got out of the weekend, though, was they told me a joke.
Oh, no.
Yeah, now, I don't want to build it up too much, but I think this is the funniest joke I've heard in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they rip into
me. Have built it up just a little bit
they
there.
They rip into me about all sorts of things, right? And this is one of them. Anyway, what do you call the redhead in a porno?
The redhead in a porno? What?
Cameraman.
Oh, come on. You're better than that.
Sorry. No, come on. That was funny.
No, it was a good joke.
Thank you. 6:45. That was my way. That's how interesting my life is, Ruin.
Sounds like a good
weekend.
That's
as good as it gets.
Hey, if you can get one of those in mid-May, take it.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:41, Ruined It's for breakfast on this Monday morning. All thanks to Main North Nissan and Main North Renault. At the moment, end of financial year sale is now on out there at Main North Road, Nailsworth. Rue, this time on a Monday morning, we'd like to have our open forum, our phone in.
Yep.
Anything that you want to talk about from the weekend, let's go to our first caller. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
You know who this is?
No, I don't.
I do.
Who is it?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Hello, Helen. How are you, Helen?
I'm not that happy.
Oh, why?
Mm.
Christopher, you said you were coming for a call-in.
No, I don't remember saying that, Helen.
He would have too.
Then I hear all weekend you're on the golf course.
I was. I had some friends in town.
If you're committed to an appointment, just make sure you turn up.
Okay. Sorry, Helen.
Well, it's great to have Shannon in town. Can I just
say
that?
He was in town. That's right. Did he pop down?
Well, you said we were going out, the three of us, about 2 months ago when last he was here. So it was just, you weren't here. Right. So it was good to see him.
Yeah, but I don't remember saying that, but anyway.
I'd better come clean.
Yeah.
I remember down in Hindley Street once training a girl, blonde girl.
Mm.
And she called herself Claudia.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Cassie.
Oh.
I just... should I speak to anyone or
no? I think keep it low. Just to just stay right out of the way. I think. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in, Helen. let's go to our next call. Hello. Good morning.
Hey, boys.
Who's that?
Hey.
Guys, it's Tex.
Hello, Tex. How are you, mate? Good win on the weekend.
Yeah. Very good win. Yeah. Good win up there. Yeah. I was pretty happy. Boys did really well, and you know, what, have you seen the ladder?
Yeah. I've seen the ladder.
He's still on top. Yeah.
Top of the ladder.
I felt a bit guilty during the week, though. I remember all the story about sledging and, you know, what you'd say on the field and stuff.
Yeah.
I actually sledged my mate.
Oh, Bernie.
What'd you say?
Bernie.
Yeah.
Have you seen that thing that's growing on his lip? He's got a he's got a moustache.
Yeah.
He's got a little wispy one.
Yeah.
You got to get within a foot of him to actually see it. you know what I said to him on the field?
What'd you say?
Oh, no.
I said, Bernie, that's not a moustache. That's your eyebrow that's come down for a drink.
Right. How'd he cope
anyway,
with that?
I felt a bit guilty.
Yeah, no, you should. You should.
Shouldn't be personal with his sledges.
He got punched. He got worked in the gizzard yesterday.
He did.
He went
did.
Out.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, a mate of mine, he went out with a girl, a one-legged girl, who worked at the brewery.
Right.
Do you know what she did there?
What?
She was in charge of the hops.
Thanks, Tex. See you, Tex. One more call this morning. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Rule Boy. Hello,
hello Tommy.
Hey, Rule Boy.
There,
you know, oh, Tommy, very busy down at the restaurant down at Gujar Street, you know. Well, I come clean. I remember I go back 2 years, you know, when we get really busy at peak time and we get, I have a cleaner coming, you know, I don't know who to report it to. You know, he come in, he say, you just call me Uncle Neil.
Right. Yeah.
But that's company. All, you know, we give him a bit of cash and he go away again.
Right.
But anyway, I sit that and there, I could that be that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Anyway, I tell you that, but if you come down to the New Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw Peking Mandarin Inn, if that is true, that Uncle Neil there, as we got big promotion, you come down, you order Banquet B and you get a free set of headphones for all of this week.
Right, Tommy.
So Banquet B.
Banquet B, you order all that, you'll get free headphones.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. We'll come down. Roo and I'll have Yum Cha this Friday. We'll see you down there. That's all we got time for with our callers, Roo.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
7.53, Roo and Dits here on Triple M, all thanks to Main North Nissan and Renault. Roo, speaking to you in recent weeks, I reckon you and I both know people that have been victims of home invasions.
Yes.
And we're talking about not just little items here, we're talking luxury cars. Now, a lot of these are happening in the eastern suburbs, which happen to be the leafy, wealthier sort of areas. We're talking the most recent, someone had a Porsche four-wheel drive taken. People just come in, grab your keys, and they're gone. Take your car, take everything.
Yeah, it's really scary, actually. I mean, I'm not sure if they're breaking in or whether that's a result of people leaving doors, back doors open or something like that. But coming in the middle of the night while you're asleep or if you've got kids around, that's what worries me the
most.
Very
scary.
Not taking the car, go for it. Take jewellery or whatever they want, go for it. But how dangerous is this? Should people be worried? And what can you do to stop it?
Yeah, and on the back of what we're hearing out of Melbourne too, Roo, where there are gangs that turn up in big numbers and just come straight through your house.
Well, they just knock on your door and come straight in.
Nothing you can do about it. Let's find out more. The officer in charge here in Adelaide in the eastern area, Superintendent John DeCandia. He joins us now. Superintendent, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, gents.
Good.
Thanks for the opportunity to come on.
How scary and frightening are these stories? I mean, are these people violent or are they purely after property?
You're purely after property, and it's pretty brazen. And one of the worst things you can have is when you'd like to think your home's your castle and you're safe in there, but it's one of the worst things to have your home broken into. And when you're there at the same time, it's even worse.
How are they getting in? Are they sort of breaking to get things to get in, or are they getting in just through?
Probably a bit of a combination of the two. Sometimes they are breaking in. Other times people might leave a back door open or a window slightly ajar. You know, on a warmer night, they might think let a bit of fresh air come in. So really need to emphasise with people, make sure your home is well and truly locked up. And if you've got cars that are, as I said, the eastern suburbs tend to be a bit of a target over the last few months. You know, if you've got the cars and you've got an opportunity to put it in a carport out of sight, then do that rather than just leaving it out in the street or in your driveway where it might be a bit of a target. But now, the best thing really is just you really need to make sure your doors are well and truly locked. And if you've got sensor lights outside, then make sure they're operating.
I'm reading here where jewellery is still the most targeted item because it's easy to trade and sell. But I'm interested in that. I would have thought if some young kid walks into your local pawn shop or something like that and says, I want to sell this diamond ring. I mean, isn't there a red flag there, surely?
Yeah, there is. And we actually do a lot of work with a lot of the second-hand dealers right through the metro area. And we actually do get some really good results there. But there's a whole range of different ways as to where they'll get rid of their jewellery. So, you know, and for the people that actually do get offered anything, then, you know, if it seems to be too good to be true, then you actually need to report it. Mm. But it's the people in the areas that know their areas the best. And if you think something looks a bit sus, if you think there's a car that isn't normally in the street, then don't think, oh, I'll check in a couple of hours to see if it's still there. Go with your gut feeling. If something's not quite right, let us know. We're keen to get onto it straight away.
Superintendent, reading what happens and seeing on TV what's happening in Melbourne at the moment with the break-ins over there and seems to be a bit more violent and more aggressive. Is that happening in Adelaide as well?
No, we're not seeing that at all. What we did find towards the end of last year, there was an increase. We launched an Operation Subtract right through the metro area. Since that time, there's been some really good results, probably other than the eastern suburbs. And we've arrested over 400 people just specifically for break-ins. And as I said, other than in the eastern suburbs, most of the break-ins have been on the decline since we launched that operation. But you can't, you know, one house break is one too many. So yep. We've got to do whatever we can to prevent it.
Am I right in saying most of the offenders are teenagers? In the eastern suburbs break-ins?
It's probably a little bit of a combination, but yeah, generally through the eastern suburbs, well, probably the ones that break in at night are probably more of your teenagers.
Right.
Generally, so.
And yep. they're the ones from what we see it too much on the TV news, but they take the cars and joyride. They're the group we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. They'll take the cars, they'll hang on to them for a day or two and go on a bit of a crime spree and then, as I said, probably dump the car and get another one. So that's why it's important when someone sees something that looks a bit odd, then let us know straight away, because the quicker we get onto it, the quicker we can prevent other crimes from occurring.
Like a 13-year-old driving the Porsche four-wheel drive.
Yeah, it normally should attract someone's attention.
I would have thought, yeah. Hey, Superintendent, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Well done. Superintendent John DeCandia there, and he is in charge of the eastern area of Adelaide, so he'll be kept pretty busy at the moment.
Scary stuff. Terrible. Oh, if you're hearing people in your house, I don't want to have to have that happen to me one day.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to walk into your house, Roo, to be honest.
I don't know who'd be more scared, me or the 13-year-old when they saw me nude. Yeah. When I get out of bed.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, gee, Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. All thanks to Maine, North, Nissan and Renault.
104.7 Triple M.
7:28, Roo and Ditz for breakfast. Thanks to Maine, North, Nissan and Maine, North, Renault on Maine, North Road. Out there at Nailsworth, we're going to get the wag back in, Roo, because weekend rules with your neighbours, it can be a bit annoying.
When you can use the mower or the whippersnapper and stuff like that.
Make a noise. Anyway, wag, tell us what happened to you over the weekend.
Well, I was in bed on Saturday morning after a few frothies on Friday night. And
hang on, we need that part of the story first. Where did you go Friday night?
To the Shannon Noel concert.
Shannon Noel? Where was he singing?
Holy
Street.
At the Adelaide Uni Bar.
What were you doing at the Shannon Noel concert?
I was really loving life. I was front row. He had his shirt off for half of it. It was so funny.
Excuse me?
This is getting better.
He sings on stage with his shirt off.
Yeah, he came on with like an acid wash shirt and then halfway through he just took it off. Like no one asked him to. Yeah, he just did it.
No one asked him to.
Is that a tosser or not?
What sort of rig is he running these days?
Actually, a really, really good rig.
So he couldn't wait to get it off.
Yeah, he loved it.
Any mention of the Crazy Horse?
No, but he did come out to that song, Genuine Pony, which is like a stripper song.
Right.
And he was like grinding. So I guess he was kind of taking a piss there.
Right. So you had a late night at Shannon Noel.
Yeah, a bit late, few froffies.
And you took a selfie with Shannon Noel.
Yeah,
too,
got
by
a
way.
Selfie.
So you're an idiot as well.
Love you, Shannon. Yeah. But then I wake up at 7:40 in the morning because my neighbour is like jackhammering his tiles up.
And you live in a little unit.
A
block,
unit.
Do you?
It sounded like he was in my bedroom. It was so loud.
Yep.
So
what are the rules with that? Have you found out?
Well, before I even Googled it, I ran outside in my pajamas screaming at him.
Oh, no.
And I said, mate, it's 7:40 on a Saturday. Can you have some respect? And he's like, some of us have to earn a living.
Right.
And so then my boyfriend came out and was like, oh, maybe come inside. You're being embarrassing.
Joel had to play footy. You weren't worried about Joel playing footy.
Yeah,
you were worried about your hangover.
No, that's what I was worried about, Joel playing footy. Yeah, being
so anyway, you've Googled it, and what
Googled
have you found
it.
Out?
So, this is stupid.
I would have thought it's prior to 9, is it?
I would have thought 9 o'clock or something.
After 9?
No, from Monday to Saturday, construction noise is allowed from 7 a.m.
Right.
Seven.
Yes.
On Saturdays.
I can't believe
that. And then on Sundays and public holidays, no noise at all.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but
for construction, but you're allowed to mow your lawn.
Yeah, probably.
No, but even then, you can't mow your lawn at like 7 in
the
morning.
No, I think there's still rules.
I reckon that'd be 9.
That's ridiculous. So a jackhammer at 7:40.
7 a.m. You're allowed to do it. That's too early. Some of us drink, and it's not fair.
Wag, shut up.
Well, some of us have sleep-ins.
Right, that's better. Some of us like to sleep in on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that even I would have thought a decent bloke would say, "Look, I know I'm allowed to start at 7, but I won't."
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why I had to go.
So how did this all end up?
I just went back inside and just really complained to myself, and he kept going. But then he finished. But he finished at like 9 a.m. I was like, "You have the whole day. Why are you doing it?"
Yeah, but he probably wanted to go and spend time with his family, or
you probably sing froppies at the pub or something.
Yeah, or do whatever he wanted to do. But
it's too early. I think
one.
They need to change the laws there.
No, right, I'm with you, Wag.
Yeah.
No, don't like that.
Too early.
Jackhammers.
Perhaps don't go and see Shannon Noel.
No.
Just let me live my life.
Learn your lesson. Exactly.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, up until last night, I was willing to, be on Cassie Sainsbury's side a little bit. I was hoping that she was innocent and a young girl that had been set up badly by someone. And then it was all going smoothly for me until I heard her uncle Neil speak, because she has claimed all along that she worked in a cleaning business owned by her uncle.
There is no truth to that whatsoever. I've never owned a cleaning business. I don't have any tolerance whatsoever, zero tolerance to people that use drugs or are involved in drugs. They can put Uncle Neil to the forefront as much as they want, but Uncle Neil served for this country. He was a military police investigator, and I was happy to have people arrested or discharged from the Defence Force for any sort form of illicit or illegal drugs.
And Uncle Neil talks in the third person, which we love, don't we?
Yes, yeah. But look, he looks like quite a straight shooter and served the country, and it's just another lie that's come out. And Tom Steinford from Channel 9 told us earlier as well that the whole headphones story for the wedding went out the window last night as well, and that's a big one.
Completely changed her story now, Cassie Sainsbury. She's thrown the headphones for the bridal party story out the window, and last night she came clean with a new story. She's now claiming she was looking for fast cash. She saw this offer on a website called Craigslist for a loan that also involved her doing some travel. She thought, oh, well, good as gold. That sounds fantastic, almost too good to be true, and clearly was too good to be true, and claims that once she jumped on those flights, she was told she was going to Bogota. When she landed, there was someone that met her there and threatened to kill her family, and the rest is now history. Now, that is her version of events. That doesn't mean it's the truth, and it's a new version of her version of the truth. So, look, make of it what you will, but that is now what she'll be going to the prosecutors and trying to argue that she was coerced into carrying that package out of Colombia.
Now, a loan that involves doing some travel, is that a definition of a mule or not? Unfortunately, it doesn't sound too good,
all right,
does
it? So there's two very, very big issues, right? Uncle Neil says, no, I don't own a company. She doesn't work for me. So there's one lie. Second one, as you've said, the headphones were the whole crux of the matter. She said, I bought these gifts for my wedding party. Now,
which sounded ridiculous anyway.
She's distancing herself from the headphones. So there's two things to come out of it. The third, the biggest allegation, is that she's been working as a prostitute for a long time in Sydney, flying where we were told she was flying in and out to meet clients for the cleaning business. They were different types of clients, weren't they?
Yeah.
Cassie lived in Adelaide and she would fly over to work in Sydney. She said that her mum was suffering from MS and was in a private hospital, that she didn't have private health insurance. We were all really worried. She's a 22-year-old girl, you know, struggling to pay these huge hospital fees on her own, and nobody else cared about her mum but her.
And last you heard, how was her mum doing?
Her mother passed away. That's what we were told. Her mother died. So when it came out in the news, when I saw her mother, I thought, oh, wow, you know, that was just a complete lie. Her mum's not dead. Her mum's alive and well.
It's a messy story.
You don't rip off prostitutes.
No.
That's what she's done as well. She spun them yarns.
There's
about
honour
her mum.
Among thieves, Roo, isn't there?
How can you, when you start lying about your mum being sick, you know, you're prone to tell a lie or two, aren't you? So just keeps on going and going.
Roo, we've got an anonymous caller who's called through, wants to have a say about this. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Roo and Dick.
Yes, hello. What would you like to say?
Look, mate, I was in the military as well. I was a investigator as well, and I knew Neil, and his story is quite legit.
Right.
Good fella.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
He looks like a pretty straight shooter.
Yeah, as soon as I heard his voice, heard the name, I thought, shit, you know, this is... I've been listening to you guys, but no, he's spot on, mate.
All right. No,
but
thank you.
I served the country as well and did 24 years. And
yep.
I was in the same division.
And what sort of work did you and Neil do?
Oh, he was a police investigator. I was an intelligence.
Right, okay.
Right. So,
yeah, say no more.
So you guys would be pretty well
yes, mate,
equipped to be able to work out what's going on with Cassie's situation.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Doesn't all sound right. Too good, does it?
No, mate, no. She's in a lot of trouble, and I reckon so is he.
Yeah. All right, thank you. No, thanks so much for ringing in. We don't know who that was. It was an anonymous caller. But, Rue, too much change last night. Anyway, amazing stuff, amazing allegations.
What's the next step here? What's going to happen from here on, do you think?
I don't know. And now, I guess the boyfriend, you know, he's being investigated by police as well here in Australia. And that's to do with one of his ex-girlfriends who was a drug dealer. So,
and why would he have done that interview? He didn't get paid a cent.
No, very strange.
It's all a bit weird, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:23, Ruined It's on this Monday morning, all thanks to Main North Renault. Check them out, Main North Nissan and Renault. at 75 May North Road at Narsworth.
We're very lucky, Ditz, to have some boys that are very, very funny that work in Melbourne and call the footy every Saturday afternoon. They're called the Saturday Rub, and they get stuck into each other every single opportunity. They use BT, Brian Taylor, as their butt of their jokes quite often, and someone dropped a box full of tapes of old recordings when he was just starting out in the media interviewing past sports champions, and we've listened to a couple on this show already. We've had George Foreman on, the heavyweight boxer, that asked him just to hold while he answered his phone a couple of times in the middle of the interview. We had Nadia Comaneci, as BT called it, when he said, "You really made a fool of yourself," and she was only 9 years of age. And on the weekend, there was a little bit more gold out of that cardboard box.
Bristle, having just left the VFL, Collingwood, of course.
1991.
Coach of Paran, Captain Coach, and that had its own story about it.
Slightly squeaky.
Back then. Yeah. He was embarking on a media career that's taken him all the way to the top, but this is the early stages.
Nah.
I want to play you a little one here. This is Shane Heal, of course,
the Hammer,
Australian basketball legend.
5 seconds, Shane Heal. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, basketball is drawing to a close, as well as the football, starting to get down to the very exciting stage indeed. And on the line now to talk about basketball this weekend. In fact, start again. Shane Heal in 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Not just during the grand final last year, but back in the early 90s, a bomb was capable of being dropped. There's just a little snippet of Shane Heal.
Jimmy likes the long intro.
I know, I noticed that too.
One, two.
You get the feeling I have the intro's written out?
A little bit.
We move from Shane Heal, who was a superstar, don't worry about that, to Jeff Malcolm, maybe not as well known.
Oh, he was the
Australian boxer.
World middleweight champion.
World middleweight champion.
He was, wasn't he?
I noticed.
Might have been.
Well, we'll know when you intro. When you introduce him, we'll know.
I noticed, Bristol, you went quite often to the square circle for your interviews back in the day. Boxing was a sort of a unique focus for you.
It's quite easy to get.
Have a listen to BT and Jeff Malcolm.
5 seconds, Jeff Malcolm. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, a guy who expects to carve out his own special niche in Australian boxing by beating world welterweight champion Manning Galloway at Jupiter's Casino on September 15, the 35-year-old Southpaw, a veteran of 110 fights in a 20-year career, will become the oldest welterweight champion in history and the oldest Australian to win a world title if he takes Galloway's World Boxing Organisation crown away. I speak of Australian and Brisbane boxer Jeff Malcolm. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning.
Well, Jeff, you'd be pretty excited about this fight. Age 35 years old. I mean, is it a little bit late to be fighting for a world title?
No.
You're pretty confident with the way that you can go?
Very confident, yes.
And why such a late challenge? I mean, as I say, 35 years old. I mean, it'd be great if you could win it. You would be the oldest Australian ever to win a world title. It would be sensational stuff. But why didn't you get the chance earlier? You there, Jeff? Hello?
Oh, no. I would have hung up too. Oh.
What about that?
I found you.
What about...
How old are you there?
You've got to... After the world's longest intro, Jeff gives him a morning.
And then you've got to craft an interview, BT. So you don't accuse a bloke of being too old as your first question. Get that question out late. Are you too old to fight?
Oh, Bristol.
Oh, they're all frauds.
And Jim, last week it was your common inch, and today it was can you cover niche?
Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Bro, what happened to him, Bristol? He just evaporated at the end of the interview.
What about your reaction too when they shut you down? Oh, okay. You don't think you're too old? No.
I think he's hung up.
Oh, no.
So he thought 90 a common inch was too young.
Oh, wow. I can't be doing too much more of this. Seriously, my gut hurts.
Oh.
Morning.
There you go, the one and only BT. More of these interviews to come. As you say, Roo, there's plenty in that cardboard box.
Get anything you missed on Roo and Dits for Breakfast catch-up on the podcast. Main North Nissan and Renault, end of financial year sale. 104.7 Triple M.